We're going to turn to our Bibles now and to the scriptures we're going to be looking at this morning. And it is Romans chapter 1. I believe it's page 1128 on the church Bibles, if you've got those in front of you. But it's Romans 1, starting at verse 15. Verse 15. That is why I am so eager to preach the gospel also to you who are in Rome. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew, then to the Gentile. For in the gospel the righteousness of God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith, from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith.
Well, it's good to be with you all again in the Lord Jesus. Since we've been here last, we've travelled quite a bit. A few weeks ago I was in Germany taking a youth camp. It's a Christian camp. We have 76 children over a number of weeks throughout the year. It's actually a football camp. I'm into football, as you might know, a football coach. I'm chaplain to a football club. And also, I'm chaplain to the Dorset and Wilkes Fire Service, but now I'm online. So it's quite an opportunity, really. What we do in the morning, we have breakfast, we go down to the field, then we have drills of about 3 hours in different sections. We come back, then we have our dinner, and then we have a film or a Bible study, and then also after that, we go back down the field again for a tournament and in the evening meetings. Of course, when I go to Germany, I have to be translated from Brummie into English, English into German. And it's quite an opportunity, really. We see the Lord at work. On the Thursday night, one young man, he came to faith in Christ. It's an opportunity for the word of the Lord to go forth. And then also, the work which we do with the football club. There I'm chaplain to a football club. And, of course, an opportunity with players and fans, as you might say, to share the word of the Lord. And when we come to the scriptures, I want to turn to the Roman Epistle and chapter 1. And just these few verses. In Romans chapter 1, verse 18, we find the Apostle Paul says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." The bold and fearless words of the Apostle Paul. Nothing about the Apostle Paul, a matter of fact, he was at the stoning of Stephen in Acts chapter 7, verse 57, stoned of Stephen. Then also he persecuted the church. If you go to the Acts of the Apostles and you travel through the Acts of the Apostles and chapter 8 of the Acts of the Apostles, we find these words concerning Saul of Tarsus. That's his Hebrew name, Paul is Roman name. And when we come to verse 1 of Acts chapter 8, Acts chapter 8 and verse 1, I'll just get my Bible going. It's what you call a loose leaf. Acts chapter 8, let's go to Acts chapter 8 and verse 1. I'll find it in a moment. We read these words. And Saul was consenting unto his death, and at the time was a great persecution against the church which was at Jerusalem. And they were scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, and devout men carried Stephen to his burial, and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house, and hailing the men and committing them to prison. Therefore, they were scattered abroad and went everywhere preaching the word. We find Acts chapter 9, he's still persecuting the church in verse 1. And Saul yet bringing down threatening slander against servants of the Lord, he went to the high priest. As I led us to the Damascus, to the synagogues, and found any other way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. In Acts 26 and verse 11, Acts 26 and verse 11, we read these words. And I punished them oft in every synagogue and compelled them to blaspheme. And being exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted them unto strange cities. And here we see the Apostle Paul, Saul of Tarsus, he was one who persecuted the church. And then upon that road to Damascus, he had a life-changing experience of Christ. Upon that Damascus road, Saul of Tarsus, he met with the living God. His life was radically changed by the power of Christ. The Bible says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, is a new creation. The old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. If you go to 1 Timothy and chapter 1 and verse 11. 1 Timothy 1 verse 11, we find these words. 1 Timothy 1 verse 11. And now we see the gospel has been committed unto the Apostle Paul. In verse 11, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which committed unto my trust. Here we see one who persecuted the church. And now the gospel has been committed to his trust. And the Apostle Paul could say, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. And the Apostle Paul, he was willing to suffer for the gospel. If you go to 2 Corinthians and chapter 11. 2 Corinthians and chapter 11 and verse 22. Verse 22, we read these words. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they minister of Christ? I speak oft as a fool. I am more in labours, more abundant in stripes, above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths often. Of the Jews, I received 40 stripes, save one. Thrice I was beat with rods. Once I was stoned. Once I was stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A day and a night I have been in the deep. In journeys often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen. In perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils amongst false brethren. And what the Apostle Paul suffered for the name of Christ. You know, there are many believers suffering today for the name of Christ. Do you know that? And as believers, we probably won't suffer physically, we might suffer verbally. And how many times you're at work or college and they take what you might call the mickey out of you, because you're a Christian. I get it often in the work which I do. Oh, you say this, you say that, prove it. Well, I say it's all in the Word of God. How do you become a Christian? How do you know you became a Christian? I was there when it happened, that's how I know. I remember that night in 1970, I heard the gospel that Christ died for me upon the cross to bring me back to God. I was brought up in a Christian home. I've said this many times. If I work at McDonald's, won't make me a beef burger. If I work in a garage, won't make me a car. I was brought up in a Christian family. It never made me a believer. Until that night, I heard the gospel. That Christ died for my sin upon the cross to bring me back to God. And the Apostle Paul was not ashamed to suffer for the gospel. He was always ready to proclaim the gospel. Let's go to the Ephesian epistle. The Ephesians and chapter 6. Ephesians and chapter 6. The Apostle Paul was always willing to prepare to share the good news. In verse 19 of chapter 6, the Ephesian epistle. And for me, utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. Now the Apostle Paul now is not in a luxurious hotel. He's in prison. Acts 28, 30, 31, is in prison, hired house in Rome, is in prison, and still is ready to proclaim the gospel. And here we see, if you go through the story of the Apostle Paul, in Colossians, and chapter 4, and verse 3. That I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Let's go back to verse 3. And we all also praying for me that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds. He was willing to suffer for the name of Christ. You know, dear friends, he writes to Timothy in 2 Timothy and chapter 1. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, the Apostle Paul writes to Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 8. And he says to Timothy, Be not therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord Jesus Christ, nor of me, the prisoner. But thou be partakers of the affliction of the gospel according to the power of God. Now Timothy, as you know, he was at Ephesus there, and Timothy was a young man in the faith. He may have grown a bit older now, but he was Paul's son in the faith, like Titus. And here we see, he writes to Timothy, be not therefore ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Now when we go to this word, let's just go back to Romans and chapter 1. In Romans and chapter 1, again verse 18, we read these words. Let's go back a bit for Romans chapter 1 and verse 18. Verse 16. But I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Now you must remember, it is the gospel of Christ. It's not the gospel of man. It's the gospel of Christ. Now if I go into the city centre in Swindon on a Tuesday and a Saturday, I meet with all kinds of religious folk. As a matter of fact, I go to a group who have their board outside and they have all the literature on. It's far from the truth. They're called Jehovah's Witnesses. And I spend a bit of time with them trying to explain the word of the Lord. But they tell me different. They tell me the Lord Jesus Christ is not God. I do not believe that. I believe the Lord Jesus Christ is God eternal. Is the eternal God. God manifest in flesh. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Then they go on to tell me the Lord Jesus Christ, the Archangel Michael. And I try to tell them, it's not true. They tell me that hell is not a real place. Hell is separated from God for all eternity, the scripture says. They do not believe in heaven. Only 144,000. There are multitudes round the throne which no man can number. You see, dear friends, this morning, they are far from the truth. Notice, it is the gospel of Christ. The Galatian epistle, and chapter 1, Galatians Epistle chapter 1, and we read there in, let's go to verse 6 of Galatians and chapter 1. I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you unto the grace of God, unto another gospel. There's one for the Mormons here, which is not another gospel, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we, or an angel from heaven, now the Mormons believe, the angel Moroni, on the hill Cumorah, he told Joseph Smith to look into the humming and the thumbing, to translate the golden plates. Load of nonsense. Which is not another, but there be some that trouble you, but would perverse the gospel of Christ. But though, or we, or an angel from heaven, present any other gospel unto you, which we have preached unto you, let him be a curse. You see, dear friends, men have got their own ideas. But my faith is in Christ. It's in Christ, the living and the true God. And I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Now notice the word gospel in the Greek is actually the word evangelium, which actually means good news. The gospel is good news, dear friends. There's much bad news in our world today, but the gospel is good news. Now, it's good news of God's redeeming love, infinite compassion, divine love to mankind. You see, man is lost in the depths of sin, whether you believe it or not. I was preached on a race course ground once concerning sin. And a lady said to me, I don't like your face. She said, sorry, love, I can't. I was born with it, I can't help that. And she says, look, I'm no sinner. She ever told a lie? Yes. For all have sinned and fallen short the glory of God. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And the good news is God loves you. It's good news of God's love to a world lost in sin. Romans 5:8. But God commendeth his love towards us, in that while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. The Bible says Christ died for the ungodly. Now, once I was lost in sin. But praise God, that night I came to know Christ. I'm a sinner saved by the almighty grace of God. Is that lovely this morning, dear friends, isn't it? If you trust Christ, you're a sinner saved by the almighty grace of God. The Ephesians epistle and chapter 2. You find the Apostle Paul now writes to the believers at Ephesus. And in chapter 2, he paints a dark and dismal picture. And what does he say in verse 1? And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. And then we find all the way through to the end of verse 3, their past. And suddenly, in verse 4, but God. Who could have broke in but God? But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even we were dead in sin, has quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. Isn't that wonderful? God's great love. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. He loves us so much, dear friends. When I talked to a young man not long ago, he said, nobody loves me. I said, God loves you. He loves you an everlasting love. Isn't that wonderful? This morning, we're loved of God. We're accepted in the Beloved. In the first epistle of John, and chapter 3, verses just 1 to 3. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. Isn't that wonderful? We're the sons and daughters of the living God. The first epistle of John, and chapter 3. Verse 1, Beloved, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth not, because he knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. Isn't that wonderful? And it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And it's good news of a wonderful redemption. An almighty redemption. Now the word redemption actually means to buy back, to set free, to ransom. A price has to be paid for our redemption. Now if you go to the Hebrew epistle and chapter 9, Hebrews chapter 9, there's a lovely little verse there, Hebrews 9 and verse 12. Let's go. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption. Notice, for if the blood of bulls and of goats, and the ashes of heifer, sprinkled the unclean, sacrifice during purifying from us, how much more shall the blood of Christ, through the eternal spirit, offer himself without spot, to God, to purge our conscience from dead works, to serve the living and the true God. You see, the blood of bulls and goats could not bring sin. It can only cover sin. It could not clear the conscience. Except we read there in the first epistle of John, chapter 1, 18 to 19. For you have not been redeemed with silver or with gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without spot and without blemish. Isn't that wonderful this morning? We've been redeemed. Redeemed, I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Now, redemption leads to reconciliation. The Roman Epistle and chapter 5. Go back to Romans and chapter 5. The Roman Epistle and chapter 5. Good little verse there in verse 10. For when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son. Much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Isn't that wonderful? We've been now been reconciled to God. Once we were enemies. But when we trusted Christ our Saviour, we came to know him. I know the Lord Jesus. I said before I'd met him. I was saying, it happened, that's how I know. I remember that night I came to faith in Christ. A young man, he took the mickey out of me. Do you know, I had a campaign in the city of Birmingham, one of the churches, and he came along to give his testimony. He'd met a Christian girl, and as you took him to a meeting, and he came to faith in Christ, and he apologised to me for what he did to me that day. I was only a young believer. I worked at British Leyland at the time, and I remember I was the only Christian on the floor, on the factory floor. And I took some stick. And I remember one day the Lord saying, I sought the Lord, Lord, I need fellowship. And I remember the hooter going, and the Lord saying to me, go into Eastworks. I made my way to Eastworks, and I saw this guy with all Bible stickers on. And his legs under the car, and I shook the legs, and a brother came out, he threw his arms around me. Hallelujah! He was dancing up and down together. He said, I've been seeking fellowship as well. And for that we started a Christian Union at British Laneham. Isn't it wonderful? Our God is able. Now notice, it's not only the good news of redemption, and but it's also good news of eternal security. 1 John 5, 11 and 12. For this the record, God has given us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. He that has Son hath life. He not the Son of God, hath not life. The telephone went one day, my wife will tell you, and they tried to sell me insurance. Now, to sell me insurance is impossible. So the fellow goes on, he gives me all the gin. I said, look, mate, I've got assurance. How long does that last? He said, when does it run out? I said, eternity. And then he says, how much do you pay for assurance? I said, it's paid by the blood of Christ. He puts the phone down. A few minutes later, I picked the phone up. He wants to know more. Isn't that wonderful? Wants to know more about assurance, not insurance. And he thanked me very much for sharing the good news of Christ with him. We've got assurance. I know one day I'll be with the Lord, which is far, far better. That's why we read in the scriptures, in thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand are pleasures forevermore. Isn't that wonderful? Heaven is a wonderful place, dear friends. And those who have trusted Christ before are now with him in heaven's eternal glory. The second epistle, Titus and chapter 2. Timothy, Titus and chapter 2. A little verse there. Begin to read at verse 11. Titus 2. Let's go to verse 13. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious being of the great God and our Saviour Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. If we do not pass through the veil of the shadow of death, the Lord will come for us. One day, dear saints, the trumpet will sound. Hallelujah! The King is coming. Not King Charles III, but our King, the Lord Jesus Christ, is coming. The heavens will glow with splendour. We'll be caught up to meet him in the air and forever with the Lord. The day is coming. I was speaking to a man in Weymouth, and as we sat on the bench together, he said to me, who's going to put this world right? I said, that man from the glory. He will put the world right, for when he comes, his reign will have no end. So, eternal security. Now notice, the message is a powerful message. How powerful is this message? Right, Romans chapter 1 again. Let's go. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. It is the power of God. This is the most powerful message in the world. You know that? How do I know? Because it changes people's lives. It brings peace with God. Eternal security. And when I was going out to Germany, we got to the airport at Heathrow. And of course, I had a check-in, the boarding pass. A lady said to me, what have you got in your bag? I said, I've got three things. I got my table tennis bat. I play for Great Britain Table Tennis, fire service. I'm their chaplain. They call me Ping Pong Priest, Triple P. And I've got my football boots, which I need. And I've got dynamite. She looked at me, dynamite, she said. And I took out my Bible. That's dynamite. She said, oh, she says, I wish I could believe. I said, faith cometh by healing, and healing by the word of God. It's the most powerful message in the world, you know that? It changes people's lives. If it changes the Apostle Paul's life, it can change our lives. And let's just go to the scriptures together, and to the Thessalonian epistle, 1 Thessalonians. And here we see the power of the Lord at work in the ministry of the gospel. 1 Thessalonians and chapter 1, verse 5. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power, and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. Notice, and ye became followers of us and of the Lord, and received the word in much affliction, with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that we were examples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to God towards, Godward is spread abroad, so that you need not to speak anything. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering we had unto you. And now you turn to God from idols to serve the living and the true God, and to await his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. That's power, isn't it? Power. The power of the gospel. The power of the word of God. And finally, the Bible says, it's not only a powerful message, but it needs to be believed. Now when we come to the scriptures, we read, faith, it cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Romans 10:17. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now I believe in the preaching of the gospel. I believe to share the good news of Christ wherever I can, because I believe one day Christ will come, and those who know him, caught up to meet him in the air, and forever with the Lord. Romans 10:10, for in the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Verse 11, for the scripture says, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. John chapter 1, verse 11 and 12, to as many as received him, to them, he gave them the power to become the children of God. Isn't that wonderful this morning? I do hope those few thoughts from Romans chapter 1, those few verses will help us to share the good news of Christ. Why? It's an urgent message. It's a message of life or a message of death. Maybe someone here this morning, you've never trusted Christ. We're here to help you. Not to join a religion. Not to join the church. But come to faith in Christ. May the Lord bless you. Every blessing.